Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Heel veel kijkers konden er niet bij zijn, maar degenen die er waren, waren super enthousiast. Dan heb ik het over ons voorjaarsconcert gisteravond in die fantastisch mooie Sint-Jan met die gebrandschilderde ramen in Gouda. En wat er tussen die gebrandschilderde ramen gebeurde was indrukwekkend. Nina Whittaker uit Amerika, die fantastisch zong. Het orkest dat speelde, Remco Harms, die van die prachtige hymnsong, het psalmproject. Maar vooral de saamhorigheid met elkaar in die volle kerk. Het was een feest. We laten u in de komende uitzendingen wat beelden van zien. Een feest is het ook in de Crystal Cathedral, want daar spreekt dominee John Maxwell in de derde over een serie over de dromen van Jozef, het leven van Jozef. En ook dit wordt weer een fantastische, inspirerende toespraak. Mandisa zingt in de Crystal Cathedral en zij deed mee aan American Idols. En u krijgt het bekende The Holy City, de heilige stad, te horen, dat prachtige, indrukwekkende lied. Bij Hour of Power Nederland is de gast Erna Neuteboom. Zij is de initiatiefnemster van Hart voor Kinderen. En dat ze een hart voor kinderen heeft, dat hoort u straks. Heel veel zegen bij het kijken naar Hour of Power.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
This is the day that God has planned around you. So, the key word today is enjoy. Enjoy the light, the faces, twinkles on eyes of persons you never saw before. Enjoy the music, enjoy the positive thoughts that are coming in. Yes, this is God at work, alive in you. Thank you, God, that you are real, moving through this place. A spirit coming from hearts of humans, coming from the faces of humans, coming from the sounds of humans singing and praying. Boy, are you ever real? Hallelujah. Amen. Be seated. Now, faith
What is it?
It's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. How profound. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Wow. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cathedral Choir, for a beautiful piece of music.
This is a woman who has experienced some incredible miracles in her life. And rather than talk about all of these things in this introduction, I'm going to come up and just have you have her share a few things with you. Lisa Tukurst.
Thank you.
Wow. Before we get into this, you got to tell me about this adoption from Liberia. How in the world did that happen? Because you're from North Carolina.
That's right. I'm from North Carolina, and my husband and I had three little girls. We really felt like our family was complete. I always felt like the orphan problem of the world was too big for me to even ever consider making a difference, maybe even too far removed from my life. And that is until one day my three girls and I went to a choir concert from just hearing about it in our community. We went to this little church on an ordinary day, and then these 12 boys from the other side of the world got up and started to share from the depth of their soul about the joy of Jesus. And in the midst of their music, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, two of those boys are yours. Mm. Of course, I was like, no. Because we felt very complete with three little girls. But the Lord just really moved and brought two unlikely worlds colliding together. And it's a very much more involved story than that. But long story short, we adopted these two boys. The Lord made a way for my two boys to come from a forgotten orphanage in a third world country to be adopted. And then my friends that thought we were crazy got to know my boys, fell in love with them. They started adopting children. We've now had over 45 children from that orphanage adopted into families in my community. Praise God.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, you've gone through some pretty horrific struggles in your life. Talk about that for just a minute.
Well, I grew up with a dad that never wanted children. And I can remember being a little girl, one of my earliest memories of talking to my dad. And I remember putting on this pretty dress and walking out into the den and so hoping my daddy would say simple words, I love you. And my dad just wasn't capable of saying that to me. As a matter of fact, often he would say, you know, Lisa, I never wanted children, especially not a girl. And so I would take all that hurt and all that pain and all that shame, and I would just stuff it down in my heart. And you know, when you're a little child and you start to experience hard things, you can wrongly discern that you must be a throwaway person. And when you think that you're a throwaway person, you start to act like a throwaway person.
And that even led to when you were a teenager, you found yourself pregnant.
That's
and
right.
And faced with hard choices.
That's right. When I was 18, my baby sister was tragically given some medication that no young child should ever be given. And a doctor just misprescribed some medication. And she, through a lot of health struggles, wound up passing away. And when that happened, I shook my fist at God and said, I will never love you. I will never serve you. I don't even believe that you exist. And I ran into the world looking to find love, I guess, as the cliche says, in all the wrong places. And I soon found I was pregnant. And I was so devastated, so alone. I couldn't take this news home to my mom because she was so overwhelmed with grief over losing my sister. So I went to an abortion clinic and I asked them to help me. And they said the words that a terrified young girl wants to hear. We can take care of this problem quick and easy, and you'll never think about it again. So I bought their lie, and I had an abortion. And it was devastatingly hard. I felt like when they took my baby, it was as if they took part of my heart as well.
How did you get from there and being angry at God and dealing with the issues of a father who didn't love you? How did you get back into the loving arms of Jesus?
Well, it was a long story, of course, but I had at that time in my life this person that I didn't really like that much because they got on my nerves. I called them my Bible friend because they gave me Bible verses all the time. And I remember just rolling my eyes thinking, how does one person have access to so many Bible verses, really? I mean, if I had a headache, she had a verse for that. It was that kind of thing. But one day, she was a woman who never gave up, and she listened to the Lord. And one day, she wrote me a note, and on the front of that note, she put a Bible verse, Jeremiah 29:11. And when I got that note and I read that verse, I didn't want to read the verse.
It says, I have a plan for your life, says
that's
the
Lord. Right.
A plan for good.
That's right. And as I started to read Jeremiah 29:11, and the declaration of the Lord, that he had a plan for me, that he had a hope for me, that he had a future for me. It was as if suddenly my name were inserted in that verse. And I knew in that moment that I didn't have to be the child of a broken parent the rest of my life. Something about that verse quickened deep in my soul, and I knew I could be a child of God. I didn't know the right words to accept Jesus as my Savior. So I just knelt down beside my couch and I just lifted up my hands and I just said, "Yes, God, yes." And I started saying yes to God every day after that. And it was a journey, but the Lord brought my heart back into a deep relationship with Him.
Well, and I've said so often, when you completely surrender to the Lord with no expectation, you know what I'm saying? You just say, "Lord, I'm yours. Do with me what you want." Amazing things unfold.
That's right.
And look what happened. You've got adopted sons from Liberia, and you've got a ministry and an amazing devotional, a Made to Crave devotional, 60 Days to Craving God, Not Food.
I think any of us can probably identify areas of our life where we run to something when we want comfort. And for me, it was food, because it was easy for me to figure out how to get food quickly if I zipped through that drive-through. But it was a harder thing for me to get comfort or figure out how to get comfort from God until I started to read the Bible from the perspective of someone really struggling with food. And right from the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, we find Eve, the very first woman, and participating in the very first sin. And what was the prop that Satan used to draw Eve's heart away? It was food. And when I read that, it stunned me, and it made me realize God loves me exactly how I am, but He loves me too much to leave me in this state of defeat. And this is an issue that God cares about. God doesn't want us running to anything else. God is supposed to be our deliverer. God is supposed to be our comfort. God is our ever-present help in every need that we have.
That's right. Amen. Amen. I love that where it says food will satisfy your stomach all day long, and it'll never satisfy your soul.
Right. And there's a big difference between being physically hungry and emotionally or spiritually hungry. Right. And I had to learn food can reach my stomach, but it can never reach my soul. Yeah. Only God can do that.
Made to Crave devotional. Let's thank Lisa for being here today. You've been terrific. God bless you very much. God bless you.
there's too much space and you feel alone, and you're worried if you got it right or wrong.
En dat was Mandisa. En wat een prachtige stem en een mooie presentatie. Ze zong ooit in American Idols. Ze won niet, maar ze zong wel die prachtige gospel. He is with you. Hij is met je. Ik kan me voorstellen dat als alles goed gaat, dat je dat heel makkelijk kan zeggen. Nou, God is met me. Maar als je nou op de puinhoop in Haiti zit, of in een sloppenwijk in Zuid-Afrika woont als kind, zeg je dan ook God is met je? Of kun je dat als ouders zeggen? Weet je... En daar ga ik met Anna Neutenbaum over praten. Zij is initiatiefnemer van Hart voor Kinderen. Dat wij een opdracht hebben. Namelijk om die kinderen en die ouders te helpen. Goedemorgen, Anna. Hart voor Kinderen bestaat nu 3 jaar. Je hebt ooit het initiatief genomen. Als je nou terugkijkt over die 3 jaar. Wat is er gebeurd?
Ach, er is heel veel gebeurd. En heel ontroerend ook om te zien. Maar we hebben ruim 100 kinderen nu opgevangen. In Zuid-Afrika en in Haiti. En daar wordt zorg voor gedragen dankzij onze donateurs, waar we heel dankbaar voor zijn. En ja, het gaat goed.
Ja, ik denk met heel groot enthousiasme terug aan de actie die we, ik denk, was 1,5 jaar geleden gevoerd hebben voor Haiti.
Ja, zeker.
Waar we in de kortste tijd bijna 300.000 euro kregen van de kijkers van Hour of Power voor Hart voor Kinderen. En dan vind ik het mooi dat dat kinderdorp ook binnen 1,5 jaar gebouwd was, terwijl heel Haiti... En nog vrienden die er zijn geweest, toch steeds in puin ligt. En heel veel mensen nog gewoon in de ellende leven. Als Hart voor Kinderen niets had gedaan, wat was er dan gebeurd met deze honderden kinderen die nu naar school kunnen en een onderkomen hebben?
Ja, zoals het leven van heel veel kinderen die nog zo wonen. Dus die wonen nog steeds in tentenkampen. En gaan vaak niet naar school en geen medische verzorging. Als je bedenkt dat er bijvoorbeeld op het kinderdorp is 2 keer afgelopen jaar cholera uitgebroken. En daar wordt gelijk voor gezorgd. Er is geen kind overleden en het is allemaal weer hersteld. Er is een mazelenepidemie geweest. Als 1 kind mazelen krijgt, krijgen ze het allemaal bijna. Dus dan, dat is, waardoor is goede verzorging. En dat maakt een heel groot verschil met de kinderen die buiten dat kinderdorp wonen.
Hart voor Kinderen zet zich in voor kansloze kinderen. Maar wat is nou precies de beschrijving van een kansloos kind?
Als we het hebben over noemde kinderen in Haiti, dan hebben ze hun ouders hebben ze vaak kwijtgeraakt door de aardbeving of door de cholera-epidemie of door allerlei andere oorzaken. Er is heel veel armoede. En als ik denk aan Zuid-Afrika, dan groeien daar heel veel kinderen op met een alcoholsyndroom. De ouders die drinken veel vanwege de nood, zien geen uitkomst, zien geen uitweg in hun leven en zoeken dan vergetelheid in de drank.
Maar hoe help je dan een kind die bij ouders leeft die elke dag dronken zijn?
De kinderen worden door maatschappelijk werkers dan ook vaak uit de gezinnen gehaald. En de kinderen zwerven ook op straat, worden dus ook van straat gehaald. En we zouden natuurlijk veel meer willen doen, hè? Want ik praat dan over de groep kinderen die wij tot nu toe hebben opgevangen. En dat zijn echt van dit soort kinderen die op straat hebben geleefd, die... Zoveel kinderen zijn seksueel misbruikt, hebben verkrachtingen meegemaakt.
Wat doet het dan? Want je hebt zelf kinderen met je moederhart.
Ja, je kunt het, daar kun je eigenlijk haast niet bij. Omdat we horen en we zien veel op televisie van allerlei ellende die er in de wereld is. En het lijkt zo ver weg. En ik zeg ook vaak, want ik ben best wel heel erg bevoorrecht dat ik in Haiti en in Zuid-Afrika zelf heb mogen kijken, de omstandigheden heb mogen zien, waardoor ik ook zo enorm bewogen ben. En het lijkt me best heel lastig als je niet in die landen zelf bent geweest om Ja, om echt zo bij na te denken van stel dat het mijn kind is die elke dag met dronken ouders zit, die verkracht wordt door vrienden van die ouders of door de ouders zelf. En kinderen die geen eten krijgen, die op straat lopen. En ja, dat is niet voor te stellen.
Wat is jouw droom daar tegenover?
Kinderen waar ik het dan over heb met Hart voor Kinderen, die hebben echt geen armen om zich heen. Die hebben geen liefde. Die zijn echt verstoten. Als ik denk aan ons nieuwe project, zoals in Humansdorp, waar wij die 18 kinderen met een beperking willen gaan opvangen. Dan, die kinderen, daar wordt vaak van gedacht als ze geboren worden. Van, oh, daar heerst een vloek op ons gezin. Dus die kinderen worden verstoten.
Omdat ze gehandicapt zijn.
Of mensen denken van, nou, daar heb je toch niks aan. Dus laat maar zitten. En deze kinderen kunnen zichzelf echt niet helpen. En ik denk dat het zo enorm belangrijk is dat we daar echt ook wat aan gaan doen.
Er komt een nieuwe actie. En er is een hele aangrijpende filmpje gekomen uit Zuid-Afrika. Zullen we daar even naar kijken?
Ja, zeker. Laten we dat doen.
I woke up today in a place where I feel frightened. Just like every other day. Maybe one day, someone will keep me safe. Today, there is no one to help look after my brother. Maybe one day, there will be people to take care of him. Today, we are hungry again. Imagine a warm meal every day. Perhaps someday. Today, we don't know where to go. Maybe one day, we will have somewhere to play. Today we don't know how to make it better. Maybe one day we can learn to do it ourselves. Today we don't have much hope, but maybe someday we will. There are thousands more just like me and my brother. Please, don't leave us on the waiting list forever.
Als je kijkt naar al die smoeltjes en ik zie jou zo blij vertellen, is dat omdat je gelukkig bent dat we wat kunnen doen?
Het is natuurlijk, is het heel fijn als je wat kunt doen, maar dagen later, we kunnen niets doen zonder onze donateurs die wat geven en die echt ook in trouwheid blijven geven en zelf ook die verantwoordelijkheid voelen om echt te zorgen voor deze kinderen. Want het is vaak zorg wat natuurlijk over vele jaren gaat.
Ja, is natuurlijk voortdurend de vraag bij mensen, ben ik er nou zeker van dat mijn geld wat ik geef, daar terecht komt waar ik het voor geef?
In die zin is het nog een voorrecht dat we niet zo'n grote organisatie zijn, denk ik. Waardoor we gewoon heel goed zicht zelf hebben over waar elke euro naartoe gaat. En we hebben hele goede afspraken gemaakt. Dus alles staat op papier. En we hebben ook inderdaad het keurmerk van de Raad Financiële Betrouwbaarheid. Dus alles wordt bekeken en nagekeken.
Elke dag ben je bezig om je in te zetten voor deze kinderen. Wat inspireert jou om daar zo mee bezig te zijn, zo gedreven?
De onvoorwaardelijke liefde van God, onze Vader. Dat inspireert mij. Als ik... God is liefde. Ik geloof in God en ik geloof in die liefde van God, die onvoorwaardelijke liefde. En dat wij de handen en voeten mogen zijn, omdat ook aan deze mensen, of dat nou in Nederland is of in Haiti of Zuid-Afrika, om dat door te geven.
Nou.
Die onvoorwaardelijke liefde van God.
En dat kun je niet alleen. Je zoekt 200 donateurs die mee willen helpen om die droom werkelijkheid te maken. Dat er geen wachtlijst is voor kinderen met een beperking.
Ja. Onze nieuwe actie is in deze maand is dus echt om 200 maandelijkse donateurs te gaan vinden voor het ondersteunen van deze kinderen met een beperking. Deze kinderen komen in deze woningen, er worden ouders bij gezocht. Ze worden begeleid, ze krijgen, we proberen met fysiotherapie, we proberen met van alles en nog wat ze te begeleiden, dat ze echt goed terechtkomen. Het zijn bijvoorbeeld zijn daar bakkerijen geplaatst al. En daar mogen de kinderen straks dan, zeg maar, als in het werk, zeg maar, als een sociale werkplaats. Dus dat kunnen ze gaan doen.
Ik hoop dat heel veel kijkers aangesproken zijn. En wat is de maandelijkse bijdrage?
7 euro per maand vragen wij van onze kijkers. Elke maandelijkse donateur krijgt van ons een hartje. En daar staat op: Love never fails. Liefde faalt nooit. Daar geloven we in.
Ja.
En als mensen dat willen, dan is er voor iedereen een hartje met Love Never Fails.
En nou, heel hartelijk bedankt. Moederdag komt in zicht.
Ja.
En dit is deze prachtige bonbonschaal. Gevuld met bonbons is het moederdaggeschenk wat iemand aan zijn vrouw kan geven. Bij Hour of Power. Mag ik deze aan jou geven?
Ziet er prachtig uit, dank je.
Oké, okay. Goed. Dankjewel. Heel hartelijk bedankt en heel veel zegen met het werk van Hart voor Kinderen. En ik kan u zeggen, ik ben ook maandelijks donateur. Al jaren, ik volg het op de voet en kritisch. En ik kan u zeggen, het is wel besteed. Wij gaan weer terug naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Good morning. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would raise your hand and say, John, I've had in the past a bad morning? How many of you would raise your hand and say, in the past I've had a bad day, a bad week? Maybe you'd raise your hand and say, I've had a bad day this week. Bad days happen, don't they? And in Joseph, as we follow him on his dream journey, he had a lot of bad days. He had a lot of misfortunes. As a very innocent young teenager, he was sold into slavery in Egypt. And then he was, as an innocent person, framed and put into prison. And when he was in prison, he helped a fellow and began to share with him his dream and asked to be remembered, and then he was forgotten. If you look at the journey of Joseph, the thing that absolutely stands out is that he had a lot of very difficult times. In fact, he lost some of the best years of his life. And yet, not one time do we see Joseph have a bad attitude. Not one time do we see him do something or say something that would perhaps be disappointing in his reaction. You see, Joseph realized it's not what happens to you, it's what happens in you that really counts. You see, you and I cannot choose all the time what will happen to us, But we can choose at all times what happens within us. We cannot always choose the spirit of another toward us, but we can always choose the spirit within ourselves toward them. Why? Because our attitude is a choice. The attitude I have today is an attitude that I have chosen. The attitude that you have right now is the attitude that you have chosen. It's a choice. Joseph knew that even though bad things were going to happen to him and he was going to have a lot of bad days, he understood very quickly that those could not control his attitude. Those could not control the spirit that was within him. Now, I'm not here to share with you some kind of fluffy message on attitude where you basically just think that if you can see it, you can believe it, or that attitude is everything. I don't think attitude is everything. But I think it's the main thing that makes a difference in your life and my life. I mean, attitude won't overcome incompetence. I mean, you may have a great attitude at work, but if you're incompetent, you're still going to probably get fired. The only difference is you'll be happy. And as we watch the dream journey of Joseph, there are three things that just stand out to me in this story that I want to share with you as we follow his life that helps us to understand how to do the right things when things turn out wrong. Number one, he added value to others. While things were going badly for Joseph, he invested in others and he continued to add value to their lives. Instead of being consumed with what was wrong with his life and what was not going well in his life, he said, instead of that, I'm going to think of others and I'm going to add value to their life. Let me give you two examples as I read some scripture. Potiphar. Here's an example. Joseph ended up living in the home of the Egyptian master, and his master recognized that God was with him and saw that God was working for good in everything that he did. And he became very fond of Joseph, and he made him his personal aide. In fact, he put him in charge of all of his personal affairs, turning everything over to him. And from that moment on, God blessed the house of the Egyptian, all because of Joseph. The blessing of God spread over everything that he owned, and in the fields, and all Potiphar had to concern himself was eating three meals a day. Joseph did such a good job adding value to Potiphar that he didn't have major concerns. When Joseph was in jail, here's the response of the jailer to Joseph. The head jailer put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. He ended up managing the whole operation, and the head jailer gave Joseph free rein, never even checked on him. Because God was with him. Whatever he did, God made sure that it worked out for the best. As you go through the life of Joseph, you can see whether it's the cupbearer's life, the jailer, Potiphar, Pharaoh, Egypt, even Joseph's family, what you see is examples of somebody who constantly invested in others. Isn't it interesting? While Joseph's dream did not seem to be coming true over the years, he invested in helping others with their dream. Again, the natural tendency for all of us is to pull back and to kind of withdraw and go inside of ourselves when difficult times come and kind of think of ourselves and our bad situation and how difficult it is. But Joseph is teaching us in this dream journey that what we do when we're going through difficult times is to forget ourselves and to invest in others and add value to them. Now, there are four ways to add value to people. In my life of adding value to people, I have discovered, number one, if you want to add value to people, you must value people. It's impossible to add value to people that you don't value. In fact, if I devalue you, if I don't think much of you, if I don't think highly of you, then I'm not going to invest in you. I'm not going to add value to you. In fact, to be honest with you, I'm going to withdraw that investment. I have a nonprofit organization, Equip, that trains leaders in over 100 countries. And we're a lot of times in developing countries, and one of the tendencies I find many times in those countries is leaders who kind of devalue their people and kind of live for the best for themselves and not for the best of others, not understanding the leadership responsibility. Well, if I'm going to add value to you, the first thing I must do is I must value you. When I was given the privilege of coming to the Crystal Cathedral and having a little part in helping Dr. Schuller, I wanted to do it immediately, Dr. Schuller, because I value you so much. I value who you are. I value what you stand for. I value what you have taught. I value the principles I've learned from you. And when you value somebody, you want to invest in their life and add value to them. Now, secondly, you add value to people when you know and relate to what they value. Isn't it interesting how Joseph always said, "Tell me about your dream. Open your heart to me. Let me listen to you." What was Joseph doing? He was finding out the things that were closest to their heart and the things that were closest to their mind. He was adding value to them by knowing and relating to what they value. Thirdly, we add value to people by making ourselves more valuable. As we get better, we're able to help more people. So as we improve, now we have the potential of helping others improve. And finally, we add value to others by doing the things that God values. That has an eternal nature to it. So here's Joseph. Things are not going well. He's having several bad days, weeks, months, years. But what is he doing during those times? He is investing in others. He's adding value to their lives. The second thing that Joseph did that was right when things were going wrong in his life is he was patient. He had the ability to wait on his dream. Now, that's not easy for me. When I teach on patience, you have to understand this is not a strong suit of mine. I have to admit, I'm not a very patient person. And I wanted to be patient. Years ago, I did. Until I realized that tribulation brings forth patience. And so I haven't been praying for patience. But Joseph, he was willing to wait on his dream. You see, dreams are conceived long before they're realized. Again, if you have a great dream, it's worth waiting for. A great dream is like a large aircraft on a runway. If you have a large aircraft on a runway, if you have a large dream, it takes a long time for you to ramp enough speed up for that plane to get in the air. You don't do it on a short runway. You've got to have a long runway. Now, if you've got a real little dinky plane, and just like if you have a real little dinky dream, you can get that up real quick. I know some people, they have helicopter thoughts. But if you have a big dream, you've got to use the whole runway. It takes a long time for you to be able to lift it off. In 1976, I had the dream to train leaders. And in 2006, 30 years later, we had, through EQUIP, trained 1 million leaders internationally. And now it's just amazing. In fact, we're up over 3 million. We're training over 1 million a year because it's now beginning to compound, and it's just an incredible blessing. But you see, what you have to understand is it took Joseph a long time to get there. Now, when he got there, all of a sudden things began to compound, and things were very exciting. In fact, in my next message, I'm going to talk about what happens when your dream does come true. I'm going to talk about what do you and I do once that dream comes true and how do we respond to it, because that's exactly what happened to Joseph. He had to wait for 30 years. He had to wait for a long time. He had to be patient before he realized his dream. So he was patient. He showed the willingness to wait on a dream because it was a big one and he realized it was worth his while. He invested and added value to others. And the third thing he did when he had those bad, difficult times is he was forgiving. He learned that no matter what somebody did to him, that the greatest way to rise above ill will and things that are difficult is to have a forgiving spirit. And the story I'm going to read now is very touching to me. It's when Joseph's brothers have come to Egypt because of the famine. He is now second in command. He is a ruler over Egypt. His brothers don't realize it's Joseph, and they're in desperate financial, physical conditions. And Joseph is about to reveal himself to them. So listen to the language as I share it with you. Joseph couldn't hold himself any longer. He cried out to his attendants, "Leave, clear out, everyone leave." So there's no one with Joseph when he identified himself to his brothers, but his sobbing was so violent that the Egyptians couldn't help but hear him. In fact, the news was soon reported to Pharaoh's palace. And Joseph spoke to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is father really alive?" But his brothers couldn't say a word. They were speechless. They couldn't believe what they were hearing or seeing. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they did. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. But don't feel badly. Don't blame yourselves for selling me. God was behind it. God sent me here ahead of you to save lives. There's been a famine in the land now for 2 years. The famine's going to continue for 5 more, neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me on ahead to pave the way and make sure that there was a remnant in the land to save lives in an amazing act of deliverance. So you see, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. He sent me to this place. He put me in charge. He made me the ruler of Egypt." Then Joseph threw himself on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. He then kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. And only then were his brothers able to talk with him. Forgiveness is not forgetting. We hear people sometimes say, "Well, I forgive you and I'll forget." No. Forgiveness is not forgetting. We don't forget. Forgiveness is remembering. Forgiveness is remembering what has been done to us and be willing to choose to forgive a person for it. My friend, only God can change a life and forgive sin. And he gives us the spirit within us to be like Joseph, because he modeled forgiveness to us to forgive others. So when things are not going well and you're having a bad day, bad week, bad month, invest in others. Get your mind off of yourself. Put others first. Be patient. It takes time sometimes to realize the dream. And always have a spirit of forgiveness, because that spirit will let you soar on high and be the person that God intended you to be. God bless you.
the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come and stand before Jesus in that day which for you there will be no sunset, only eternal light and life forevermore. Happy Sunday. God bless.
Elke zondag spreekt Hour of Power weer vele duizenden kijkers aan met een positieve en inspirerende boodschap. Dit kunnen we alleen doen dankzij de donateurs die ons trouw steunen. Jezus zei, de oogst is groot, maar arbeiders zijn er weinig. Hour of Power vindt het belangrijk dat Gods liefde wordt verkondigd. Daarom hebben wij voor u wekelijks een inspirerende spreker. Zonder arbeiders geen oogst, zonder donateurs geen uitzending. Voelt u zich thuis bij Hour of Power en wilt u dat Hour of Power iedere week op de televisie te zien blijft? Zou u dan ook donateur willen worden? Wij verwelkomen u graag in onze kring. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Als welkomstgeschenk sturen wij u de DVD-box Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden? Deze gloednieuwe DVD-box bevat 4 preken van John Maxwell vanuit de Crystal Cathedral over het thema dromen. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035-538-0588. Alvast hartelijk dank. Ook het nieuwe boek van John Maxwell, Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden, kan vanaf nu besteld worden bij Hour of Power.
En dat was dominee John Maxwell met een prachtige oproep om te geloven in je dromen, om die altijd achterna te jagen. En ik vind het zo'n prachtig verhaal. Jozef, die in de put werd gegooid en zijn broers dachten, nou, die zijn we voor altijd kwijt. En hij werd onderkoning van Egypte en redde daarmee zijn volk. Dus geen droom kan te klein of te groot zijn. Volgende week de laatste uitzending met dominee John Maxwell. We bedanken iedere kijker. En bedanken in het bijzonder de kijkers die zich aangesproken voelen door ons programma. En willen helpen om donateur te worden, zodat dit programma week in, week uit, 2 uur lang kan worden uitgezonden. Of Hart voor Kinderen helpen. Is zoveel te doen in deze wereld, zoveel uitdagingen. En ik ben blij dat u en jij deel bent van die uitdaging. Een heel goede zondag toegewenst en ik hoop tot volgende week.
Just like every other day. Maybe one day someone will keep me safe. Today there is no one to help look after my brother. Maybe one day there will be people to take care of him. Today we are hungry again. Imagine a warm meal every day. Perhaps someday. Today we don't know where to go. Maybe one day we will have somewhere to play. Today we don't know how to make it better. Maybe one day we can learn to do it ourselves. Today we don't have much hope, but maybe someday we will. There are thousands more just like me and my brother. Please, don't leave us on the waiting list forever.